Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus 20. First Sunday, first Lord's Day of December. And you need to know this, December is going to fly by. I mean, you know, a couple weeks from now is the Sunday school program. You know, a week after that will be the cantata. That's a scary thought. And then our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And man, we're steep into the holiday season right now. I trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I did. It just seemed particularly nice. And even though it wasn't at my house, I got to take home some leftovers, albeit because of my family and everybody loving to eat so much. Leftover turkey sandwiches. Fellas, you ought to feel sorry for me. I had one. That was it. And I was lucky to get that baggie with just a little bit of turkey in the bottom of it, you know, to leave. Yeah. They handed it to me on the way out the door. I'm thinking, what is this? But my wife did get a pie as well. So we had a good time. And I want to thank you men that I sent out a call for help to put the roof on the extension on the back of the gymnasium, the new entryway, and where someday the concession stand's going to be and so forth. And lo and behold, a half a dozen to eight men showed up. We worked hard. We got it done. It took 2 days, but we got it done. Glory to God. Thank you, men. I got to know Brother Luke Parrish a little bit, found out he was a little skilled in carpentry, and then you might want to know that for your own information in case you're needing help sometime in the future. But I also found out he had a mean streak because towards the end of the day, I think it was on the second day, I took a measurement at the peak. Now, everybody who's over 60 understands this. Going up and down ladders, man. So I climbed up the ladder. I'm up on the roof. I took the measurement for a piece, one of the last pieces we had to cut. And I come all the way down off the roof and down off the ladder. And I'm measuring it out. He's up on the roof. And I said, okay, 19.6. And he said, are you sure that's not 16.9? And I'm looking at him thinking, back up the ladder, back up on the roof. And I was right. I was right. He's got a mean streak in him. But thank you for your work. Exodus and chapter 20. It just so happens I'm preaching on honesty this morning. It just so happens on not bearing false witness. Boy, we don't want to be guilty of that. Not as children of God. Would you stand with me? And I'm just going to read through verse 16. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And as has already been preached multiple times, salvation. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. A lot of sin is generational. If you're an idol worshiper, you're teaching your children and they're going to get caught up in that. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy servant, nor thy daughter, or thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Great Bible principle. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And I just want to, because there's people here that weren't here that day. This is the only one of the Decalogue of the Ten Commandments not rehearsed, not repeated in the New Testament. It's because it's ceremonial law. Ceremonial law pictures the work of Christ. Jesus went to the cross one time and it is finished. Amen. Salvation is complete. All right. The moral law, that pictures Christ himself and the purity of Christ. Verse 12, and we worship on the first day, don't we? It's the Lord's day. It's Sunday. That's the day he rose from the dead. That's the day he revealed himself to the women. That's the day he revealed himself to the disciples. 7 days later, on another first day of the week, he revealed himself to the disciples again. That's the day the Holy Spirit came. That is the day that Paul said you'd observe the Lord's table. And Paul said to take up the tithes and the offerings on the first day of the week. And the first day of the week is the day that John on the island of Patmos received the revelation. It's the New Testament, the Lord's day. Ceremonial law, it's complete in Christ. Let me read on here. Honor thy father and mother and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's the first commandment with promise, with a specific promise. Thou shalt not kill, ratzak, or murder, the Hebrew word is. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And then the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and I pray that you just make this commandment very important to all of us. God, may it get a hold of our lives and get all over the inside of us. May we hear scripture this morning that we'll hook up with and we'll never forget. And God, may we never be guilty of bearing false witness. And may we understand there's no such thing as a little white lie. May we understand this morning that you detest sin, that it's not pleasing to you, and that we're breaking the commands of God when we deceive, practice deception in any way. Please, may this ring true this morning in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For the ninth time, we climb Mount Sinai. For the ninth time, we see the lightning and the smoke and the earth, hear the thunder and the voice of God and the earth shaking. The Decalogue is given to Moses. Moses orally received the Decalogue in this chapter that we are reading about right now. And we understand that the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, the law is good. The Bible tells us that in Romans in chapter 7 and verse 12. The Bible tells us that in Galatians. The law, God's book, the commandments, the very commandments that God gave, they are good, they are right, they are holy, they are proper. Paul Harvey used to say this, they're not 10 suggestions. They're commandments. They come from God. They come right from the throne of God. And then later, written by the finger of God in tablets of stone. And the Israelites carried those tablets around in the Ark of the Covenant for years and years and years. And you understand, these same commandments are for you and for me today, but they're a schoolmaster. They teach us. They remind Tim Rader, you got a long ways to go. They remind Tim Rader, and no one gets saved by commandment keeping. No flesh is justified by the deeds of the law. That's what the Apostle Paul said. The commandments show us, they get us ready for salvation. They show us that we need Christ. Man gets so full of himself, so quick. That's the flesh. It takes no time at all, and right, all of a sudden we're thinking we're pretty good people. And that's why God gave us the written word of God. And it is a schoolmaster, and it does teach us. And it's the nuts and bolts of life, Judeo-Christian virtues, Judeo-Christian ethic. It helps us to live right. I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you understand what I'm saying. But if we didn't have a Bible to study, if we didn't have the eternal writ, holy writ, if we did not have the book, the eternal word of God preserved for us in our language, if we did not have a Bible to read and to learn and to study from, it wouldn't be long. It wouldn't be long, and we're pretty good people. It wouldn't be long, and we wouldn't be confessing our sins anymore. It wouldn't be long, and before long, there'd be a separation between us and God. And I might be preaching to some Christian here this morning, you hadn't read your Bible all week long. Not one time did the Holy Spirit, was he able to take the word of God and speak to you about your sin and what needs to be confessed. Not one time did your faith get built up directly by the Holy Spirit by way of the word of God. And I'm telling you, that is wrong. And you're going to fall. And you got to get back to the word of God. Heaven is real. I'm so glad for that. I read this quote this week. I thought, wow, W.B. Riley was an old-time 1940s and 50s fundamentalist. He was a staunch, he was academician, he was a scholar. He stood up and he preached the word of God. I believe he was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He was part of that group that came out of the Northern Baptist Convention and became an independent Baptist. This guy was like Moses wearing a double-breasted, like a three-piece suit. That's what he was like. And he made this statement, and he preached very academically. But he never tickled ears. He said the theology and the preaching and the teaching that does not name sin or does not make sin stink is puny preaching and trite teaching. I thought, I wrote that down in my Bible because Tim Rader needed to hear that. The theology, the preaching and teaching that does not make sin stink is puny preaching and trite teaching. People look for that. People with itching ears. They look for that. And boy, I want to give it to you the best way I know how. This is the ninth commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Don't lie. Don't advance a lie, a half-truth. Don't go there as a child of God. Integrity is below zero on the thermometer of America. The honesty compass is broken. The soul of America is in question. Lying and cheating and deceiving and using people, it's become big business. And with the help of social media, you see, it used to be it just took place in the barber shop or in the beauty salon or maybe in news and views in the local paper. But now it's everywhere. Man, it's just like it's overwhelming. There's so many half-truths. Have you heard the term fake news? Man, it's just, you can't, it's like, is that true? I don't know. There's no credibility. It's like nobody has any credibility anymore. And that kind of sin should never once be named among the saints of God. Again, lying is bearing false witness is lying. It's deceiving. It's advancing a lie. That's all to be wrong. The lie, here's the problem with being a liar. You got to remember what you tell people all the time because your story changes. And you're prone to tell a lie because there's no moral compass. So I'm preaching to maybe some mature Christians here this morning, and you got a problem with lying. You got a problem with gross exaggeration. You got a problem with half-truths. Or you're the tale-bearer that Proverbs, Solomon spoke of in the Proverbs, where you get the information over here, and you carry it to this person over here, and you can't wait. You don't have to carry it anymore. Now you just push a button, right? That's the tale-bearer. And of course, that is sin. The command in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Look at chapter 23, same book of Exodus, and verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Just because it's the crowd doesn't mean it's right. Let me tell you something. I'll give you something, you younger people, something from an old man it's been true all through my life. I remember when I was told this. The crowd isn't always right. As a matter of fact, it's usually wrong. So man, don't be that one that advances a lie. Definition of bearing false witness is to practice deception or prepare to deceive. Go to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs and chapter 25. You say, well, this isn't such a big deal. It's not a big sin. It's not like murder or adultery or... It is a big deal. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Understand, our God doesn't look at... It's sin. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's never done wrong. Man, never. Never. He even came to this earth in the form of God the Son. And he was tempted for 33 years. And never once gave in to temptation. He's a holy God. And he says to you and to me, thou shalt not bear false witness. Proverbs 25, verse 18. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Let me turn back a couple of pages. A man that heareth or beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You want to be a man of integrity. As a child of God, you want to be a woman of honesty. You want your yeas to be yea. Didn't Jesus say that? your yeas to be yea and your nays to be nay. You want people, you want to have credibility. You want to have that testimony where your word is true. Oh, you're a fallen man and a fallen woman just like everybody else, but you do the best you can to not practice a lie or advance a lie and in no way tell a lie. And it's generational. We don't have time to look at it this morning, but I was going to go to Genesis and chapter 3, and I was going to talk about Abraham and then Isaac to follow and how they both fell into the same sin, and it was a sin of lying, and it's like it's passed on. Here's a big-time storyteller. It's all right to be a storyteller, Grandpa, but just make them true, all right? Make them true. And so but it's all right to be able to weave a story. That's not what I'm talking about. Some guys are gifted that way. Some ladies are gifted that way. That's good. But if you practice lying, the art, the black art of lying, you're going to pass that on to your son or your daughter. And you're going to pass it because they're going to see, man, that's entertainment to know everybody else's business. That's entertainment to know what's going on. And it's kind of a morbid satisfaction of the flesh. And of course, it's not right. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. Maybe not all the way to verse 15, but 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners. It's our schoolmaster. That's why God gave it to us. Not everybody likes hearing the commands and thou shalt nots. Not everybody likes hearing sin preached against. But we gotta have it because we're still in this old vessel, this old body, this old flesh. For the ungodly and for sinners and for unholy and profane and for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, we talk about preaching doctrine here. Here's good doctrine. Don't be a liar. That's good. That's sound doctrine. If I am a liar, then I'm contrary to sound doctrine. That's incongruent with being a born-again child of God. That's incongruent with somebody who's been given, but all washed up by the blood of Jesus and all forgiven, and it's all of grace, and it's all of mercy, and prepared for life. That's incongruent that I would go around being a talebearer or a liar. We all know people in our lives that's their reputation. Maybe you've got an aunt. Maybe you've got an uncle. Maybe it's somebody at school. Maybe it's somebody that you work with. And everybody knows them. Oh, you know what? They got the soup on everybody. They got all the juice. Man, they got all the information. We just got to find out what's going on. And people, and it is by ripping other people down. That's what's going on. You are not building yourself up. That's not how it works. Man, because the standard has not changed. It's Jesus. All right? By tearing your brother down or tearing someone down that isn't even a born again, and not even a brother or sister in the Lord, that doesn't make you more righteous. In fact, you become unrighteous when you're the talebearer. So where did it come from? Go to John in chapter 8 and verse 44. Gospel of John and chapter 8 and verse 44. I said this in Sunday school. I want to say it now, just so it's repeated. You're important. Your neighbor is important. The kind of life you live, that's important. A good name is better than great riches, Solomon said. Your testimony is important. If your tongue is set on fire, it is set on fire of hell. That's what Pastor James said. Gossip, slander, half-truths, lies, they are hatched in the bowels of hell. John chapter 8 and verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. This is Jesus. Jesus is telling the religious leaders, you're just like Satan. You're just like the devil. He's the father of lies. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. A man left to himself, according to Romans in chapter 1, speaking of the mouth, is an evil, open sepulcher. As a grave, there's a stench, halitosis. You got bad breath, Christian? Are you that Christian that just goes around spreading gossip all of the time? Man, I can smell your breath right through the cell phone. Oh my goodness. You know what? That's what Romans chapter 1 says. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need to be surrendered to Him as children of God. Very important. You don't want to be just like the devil. Isaiah 14, man, he wanted it all, and he lied about it in order to get it. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 17, it's there. Genesis chapter 3, in the garden, he's a liar. He lied to Eve in order to get her to give in to temptation. He's a liar. The devil is a lie. You see how everybody else is doing it? I know. The church that becomes enamored with the culture is on the way to being irrelevant. The church that is not different than the world is on its way to be irrelevant. You've seen it and I've seen it. Some churches come along and they think by becoming like the world or buying a drum set or, you know, whatever it is and incorporating some entertainment that somehow, and the crowds swell for a little while and then it goes belly up. Because there's no more prayer meeting, there's no more, you know, you go to church a half hour a week or an hour a week and kind of do your thing and punch your time clock, and doctrine isn't really being preached, it's all kind of watered down. And before long, what's the difference between what goes on Sunday morning and what goes on Saturday night? I mean, just not a whole lot of, it sounds the same, and we become irrelevant, and people stop getting saved. On the other hand, we could be a Bible church, a King James church, a church that believes the Word of God and is trying to do the work of God, but if we're not living it, man, we become irrelevant as well. We could have everything right on the outside and not on the inside. Remember what Jesus said about the Decalogue in Matthew chapter 5? It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. It's not just about committing murder. It's not just about committing adultery. It's not just about being evil on the outside. It's a hard thing. Jesus said, your heart, that's what matters. Where it came from? It came from Satan. Who loses? Go to Proverbs 26. Proverbs chapter 26. I already have to start to close this, and so let me summarize, and then we're going to read the scripture. Number one, every liar loses. What you say and the life you live is important. If you practice the art, the black art of lying, you will soon become irrelevant as far as reaching the world for Christ. Number two, everyone who advances a lie, they lose. You become a carrier. Number three, every victim of a lie, they lose. There's hurt. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. It's a nice little nursery rhyme, but it's not the truth. Words matter. Every wolf in sheep's clothing, they lose. The false prophets, they go to hell. Every voice that opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ, they lose. Every voice that waters down the gospel of Jesus Christ, they lose. Everybody that teaches some kind of, all you do is choose Christ and there's no repentance and sin doesn't really matter, you lose because people are falling between the cracks just getting half a message. In Proverbs in chapter 26, verses 17 through 28, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him, that's a busybody, that's someone who passes on truth, a false truth, a lie, a meddler, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Now, that's a bad position to be in. I don't know if you've ever grabbed a dog that is rabid and foaming at the mouth and wanting a piece of you, and you got him by the ears, hard to let go. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? I'm just kidding. I didn't really mean that. And you've destroyed people along the way. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Gossip ought to stop at your front door every day. Every time, just stop right there. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You don't want to be involved what kind of man, what kind of woman, just think about this. This is, I relate to a lot of sin. You know what? I'm just like everybody else. I know I'm a fallen man. But I cannot, I guess maybe because I've been on the other side so often, all of my life as far as ministry, I don't want to be involved in other people's lives, their sin life. And I don't want to know what's going on. I don't want to. Some people relish it. And I'm thinking, man, I'm not wired that way. What is, it's like they look for, and they love to stir. You know, what in the world? That is the opposite. Christ settles it. Christ settles it. And a talebearer is someone that takes the tail to somebody else or stirs it up even more. That don't make sense. You've got a hold of that dog, man. He's going to bite you. You're going to have to let him go sooner or later. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. They hurt. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, there's the answer, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. You can't believe a liar. That's the problem. For there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. It always comes out. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And the stone, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Verse 27 is just very, it's a dead end street. You dig a pit, you know where it is today, you're going to fall in it tomorrow. Yeah, you roll a stone on somebody else, it's going to come back sooner or later. So as a child of God, where's this at, Pastor? I'm done. I'm overtime right now. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I won't lie, and I won't advance a lie. A spiritual man, can you imagine Jesus doing that, by the way? Never. Completely inconsistent with the character of God. Why is it that fallen man thinks by sharing something that is nasty with someone else, they're a third party, they have nothing to do with it, all right? Why do they find that satisfying? Maybe you haven't dealt with it enough, but to me, it's repulsive. I want nothing to do with it. And God has given me, this came out in counseling again this week, the innate ability, sometimes it's a curse, but I can forget just like that, man. I don't know, it's like a switch. It is. That's why I forget my anniversary all the time. Somebody will share something with me and I'm thinking while they're sharing it and I tell them, a lot of times I'll interrupt them. You don't need to give me details. I don't need to know this. But it's like, as soon as it's done, we pray about it. It's confessed. It's gone. I'm gone. No one. Don't bring it up again. Don't pick a scab. It's gone. It's behind us. Let's move on for the glory of God. That's what Jesus would do. And that's what he does. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Hey, there's hope for you this morning. If you've got a problem in that area, if you'll confess it to God, he'll forgive you. He'll clean you up just like he does the hater, just like he does the thief. He'll clean you up and he'll make it like it never happened. That's as far as the east is from the west. And he'll give you the spiritual strength and the Bible fortification to never give in to that temptation again. Just repent.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.